let's get into it. Hello, and welcome to The Judgment Edit, a Lucy Loves production. I'm your host, Lucy Tien, and I'm joined today by my very special guest host, Abby LaRocca.
Hey!
And an extra special thank you to everyone today for joining us here for episode one. I think I like you. You're a bit of a risk taker, aren't you? Getting in on it early. So a little bit about me, so you know whose judgments and perspectives you're getting. I'm a 30-year-old woman, I'm self-employed, married, no kids, and I come from a pretty solidly middle-class background. The rest of it you can get to know as we go along. Abby, can you give us a little bit of info on you so we know how you're judging?
Sure can. Well, I am a 31-year-old woman. I am not self-employed. I work in corporate, which is great fun. I have no kids and no boyfriend or any perspectives right now.
So if anyone listening is interested, Abby is very clearly available.
Very clearly available. I come from probably like an upper middle class background, was a very spoiled child.
Very much on the upper.
I'm still a very spoiled adult, so that's just me.
Okay, so similar in some perspectives and also some very different backgrounds here. Let's just dive straight in because we've got a couple of really good ones to get through today. So this is Abby's first time hearing these, and we're going to read all the way through all the information that we're given and then just dive in.
Okay.
This one here is, my 28 male girlfriend, 25 female, shared my private pictures with her friends. We've been dating for 8 months. It's a long distance relationship. We have a great relationship and she wanted to introduce me to her friends, so we had a Zoom call. She made a joke which hinted that I was well endowed. Her friends all laughed and one of them said, "I know." I was extremely uncomfortable. After the call, I talked to her about it and she said she had talked to them about it. And then I pressed more and she confessed that a few of them may have seen a few pictures I had sent her because she had been drunk and she got the text at the bar. She said I should get over it as I have nothing to be embarrassed about and they were all jealous of her. It makes me want to puke. I just feel bad about myself. I don't want those to be shared. I think I may be insecure about this. I feel like she sees me as a piece of meat rather than a boyfriend. It's breaking my heart. She thinks that it was just one slip up, and I don't know, honestly. I think I just want to block her and move on. But how should I deal with this?
Well, I mean, I've got no judgment here because who hasn't showed photos that you've received? Like, come on.
See, I think that's where the line is. Like, as women, we're all pretty guilty of a double standard here. If men were all sitting around talking about, like, this girl that they're saying, like, oh, she's got just huge boobs, we'd all be like, you're disgusting. But we are all guilty of sitting around and being like, yeah, he is well ready.
I feel like he should feel proud, though. Like, she wouldn't have shown those photos or talked about them if they weren't great.
That's true. But, I mean, it's still – I would be horrified if someone was showing a naked picture that I had entrusted to them and passed it on. And they were like, but you've got nothing to be embarrassed about. Like, but your boobs look great. That doesn't matter to me. They're still my boobs that I shared with you, not with you and all of your friends that were at the bar that night. I think just because it's a female, we tend to be looking at it in a really different way. But if we looked at it without gender, I think everyone would have a little bit of a different perspective.
Yes and no. I feel like if he didn't want them shared, you probably like I've sent pictures and been like, hey, this is just for your eyes only. And then I've sent pictures where I'm like, oh my gosh, you look great, girl. Who cares? Like if he shows all his friends here, they're at least going to be seeing the best version of you. You know what I mean? Like, like there's maybe like a discussion that you just need to have. Be like, hey, babe, I'm going to send you like these really cute, cheeky pics, your eyes only.
I think there's a difference between cheeky pictures and pictures where his appendage is clearly on display. There's nothing cheeky about that. That's outright explicit.
I mean, they're in a relationship too, which also says to me, I probably wouldn't want to share my actual boyfriend, I think.
And I think when you're in a relationship, there's implied privacy.
There is. Yeah, you're right. In a relationship, I'd feel differently.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you're going to keep these things close to the chest, that you're not going to just share them with random mates. And also, at what point is it revenge porn?
I mean, I've had friends who have had videos and photos been shared around that they did not consent to have shared around. And it's really really torn them down. So I can definitely relate to him feeling like a piece of meat now and feeling like his relationship isn't as like good and pure as he thought it was.
And I think in the generation of explicit consent, we can't be like, well, he didn't say specifically to keep it private. I think it would be on her to specifically say, do you mind if I show this? And he could be like, yeah, sure. I'm not embarrassed.
I also
go for, or he could have been like, no, that's not okay with me, if she just asked the question.
I also think it's on her friends too. None of my friends who I've ever shown anything to would bring it up with them because it's just impolite, especially if it's a boyfriend. Like, you'd feel like they should have more respect for their relationship. Yeah, we know. Like, I feel like that might just be more of a secret look that you have with your girlfriend where you're like, But also, why is she bringing it up on a Zoom call? Like,
yeah, that's very true. I feel
like the respect isn't there in any case, and feeling like a piece of meat is probably a bit accurate in this case.
Yeah, she's the one that hinted at it. It's not like a friend that she told a secret to. It was like, you know, it was her that hinted at it. So she obviously really didn't have any respect for his privacy and that she didn't even think twice about making that joke.
And you're right. If the gender roles were reversed, that would have gone down a lot differently.
I think especially in something like that, ask the question. And if you don't feel like you can ask, you already know the answer.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of it's easier to apologize than ask permission to begin with, but I don't think that goes all the way through to consent. That's not a place where you can put that into practice.
I feel like that's really not a place, Liz.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one. This is a bigger one, and the title is My Mother-in-Law Wants to Legally Adopt My Baby. So she says, I've had a lot of trouble with my mother-in-law, but this is probably the most upset I've been. Today, mother-in-law invited me to spend the day shopping with her. We've had a lot of ups and downs, and I really thought that this was her way of reaching out and we could start to rebuild the relationship. We sat at a coffee shop and barely ordered our drinks when she asked me who my baby's godparents are and where they would be going if something were to happen to us. At first, I thought she was just concerned and maybe a little nosy. I politely told her that we have not made a final decision yet because there are a lot of things that need to be taken into consideration before we can make a final decision. Before I could finish my sentence, she ambushed me with the topic of adopting my baby so that there will be less paperwork and problems the day that something happens to us. I was basically too stunned to speak and sat there in silence for a while with my mind racing. Why is she so concerned? Hubby and I are both in perfect health and financially stable and physically well, so the chances of something happening to both of us are very slim. I thought by changing the topic, she would eventually forget about it, but the next thing I knew, she burst into tears in the middle of the coffee shop, asking why she isn't good enough to look after my baby and what she's done so wrong that we hadn't even asked her if she'd take care of him if something were to happen. I told her it isn't any of her business, paid the bill without even drinking my coffee and left. I came home to hubby being upset because mother-in-law had been blowing up his phone and had been saying I denied her any and all rights to see my baby in the future and that she was trying to reconcile with me, but I'm just too much of a monster. I left hubby at home while I went grocery shopping so we could cool down. When I got home, I told him what really happened. He didn't really say much after I told him, but he's been ignoring mother-in-law and now she wants to come and have a family meeting at our house tonight. Hubby doesn't think it's a good idea, but I, on the other hand, would love to put her in her place and let her know exactly where she stands when it comes to my baby. What do you think I should do?
Well, your mother-in-law is crazy.
Yes. There's so much wrong with this. It's not just what do they do now, but there is so much wrong with this. Why is she fantasizing about her child and daughter-in-law dying to start with?
I don't even have words for this one. Wow. Like, there are some bad mother-in-laws out there, but I feel like this one's pretty close to taking the cake. And to bring it up while you're out as well with no preempting, like there was no discussion about, like, we've been talking about to lawyers about what we're future planning, that sort of thing. Like, I feel like there's a bit of maybe jealousy here.
Also, why isn't she speaking to her son about it?
Yeah, very true.
Why go to the daughter-in-law unless you're trying to create some drama and create a rift between your son and your daughter-in-law?
Especially if you then called him and basically given him a completely incorrect story.
I feel like she is very jealous of the relationship and doesn't want to let her little baby boy go.
Do I think she should have a family meeting? Absolutely not, because I don't think it's going to be something that you're going to be able to fix. I just don't think it's a healthy thing just to have an argument for the sake of putting her in her place. I feel like she's going to have this problem no matter what. So no matter how much wasted breath you have on this discussion, I feel like it's not going to go anywhere.
That's very true. I also feel you're better off not having the argument, putting in her place and putting her on a timeout. This is what happens if you misbehave. You actually don't get to see us or the baby until you behave yourself. Because that's really inappropriate.
It really is. Like, I just can't even imagine anyone I know doing this. It's a baby as well. Like, it's not even, you know, she's a 60-year-old woman having a baby or something. Like, there's just no reason to
not have to mention, she's gone 3 steps. We've totally missed this. She's gone, like, you know, 6 steps too far. And she's not just pushing to be official godmother or to be officially listed as the caregiver should something happen to them. She's saying that she wants to adopt the baby now.
Yeah.
Which means that she would be the baby's legal guardian. They wouldn't have custody. If they wanted to see the baby, they'd have to ask her permission. As far as the law is concerned, she would be the baby's parent.
It's so bizarre.
Which is a really weird suggestion to make, unless you literally, like, as you said, it seems like she's jealous of the relationship. That seems like she wants to have the baby and her son and just get rid of the inconvenient mother.
Yeah, or it could be a miscommunication here, but I also feel like the fact that when there's nothing currently going wrong, that there's no medical issues, there's no financial issues, I would be worried that my mother-in-law is trying to...
Yeah, I would not eat anything that mother-in-law cooked for me ever. Absolutely not. No.
I would not be getting in a car with her. Taking any presents, opening any letters.
Oh, good. It's not just me, because I felt like maybe that was paranoid. But oh my God, no. Like, I'm a healthy person. Why are you doing this?
Exactly. No, I think they definitely need to put mum in a timeout, or maybe even look at just removing mum from their life, because I feel like someone with this much ill intent.
Especially since the way that some of this is written, I'm assuming that the poster was American, and grandparents' rights in America are crazy.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, the grandparents can sue for custody in court.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they then are legally required to drop their kids at grandpa's house or grandma's house for X amount of time, for the same as you'd have a custody arrangement with an ex-partner. So wow. While the baby's still a baby, before she can establish too much of a relationship, that she can go to court and be like, I have an established relationship with this baby.
Yeah, that brings it even more like darkness to this story. Yeah. Stay away from your mother-in-law, girl. Stay away.
Yeah, no riding in cars with her. Definitely don't go to her house for dinner.
No.
Just don't. That's so scary.
And do not let her have that baby one-on-one, because you might never see it again.
And also make sure your husband's ready to stand up for you, because if that was my relationship and it was my husband's mother, I'd be going, it's your mother. You need to deal with this.
No problem.
Yeah. I had the lunch. It went sideways. This is now something that you need to call her and tell her what she did was inappropriate and put her on a timeout and explain to her why what she's done and she's in trouble, what the consequences are going to be, because that's not my job.
No, exactly.
I deal with my mother already. She's hard work. I'm not taking on a mother-in-law.
Fair call. Fair call.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Now, this one's a little bit of a different relationship again. This is an am I the arsehole? Am I the arsehole for legally suspending my daughter's license? My daughter is 16. Myself and her mum separated when she was 12. We both live in the same town and maintain a healthy relationship and split custody 50-50. I taught my daughter how to drive and was with her when she got her license last month. Last week, my daughter came home with a ticket for texting and driving on the highway. This caused a huge concern for me. The ticket included a $200 fine and a 20-day suspension of her license. I was obviously very upset and we got into an argument about it. Her points were that everybody does it and that she doesn't do it that often or when other cars are around. Not only was she defending herself, but she was essentially arguing that she does it safely. I told her that regardless of when the suspension kicks in, she is grounded from driving until she has shown that she can be responsible enough not to put her own life or the lives of others on the road in danger. I took her car keys, a car that I had bought for her, as a getting your license present. She then went and called her mum before I did, and next thing I know, I have her calling me and telling me that I had no right to punish her like that without talking to her first. I agreed that I should have talked to her first about it, but that I feel like the grounding is non-negotiable. Her mum actually took her side and said the same, everybody does it bullshit, and that she needs a car to get to work and hang out with friends. I told her that it is ridiculous that she is even supporting this. The conversation ended with her telling me that she wasn't going to enforce the rule and would allow her to drive one of the cars at her house. I waited a few days until it was her mum's turn of custody. I called her and she confirmed that she isn't backing off and that she's going to let her drive until the suspension kicks in. I told her that she is actively letting our child endanger her life as well as everyone else's. She told me that I'm making this a much bigger deal than it needs to be, and she said that if it was actually that serious, she would have gotten more than a 20-day suspension. In my state, the parent that signed the minor driving consent form when you get your license has the ability to have your license revoked. So I did just that. They warned me that this will count as a full revocation on her record and that she'll be ineligible to get it again until she is 18. I went through with it and texted her mother to let her know that I revoked her license and sent her a picture of the paper the DMV sent me. She told me I am out of line and making decisions for our daughter without consulting her. I told her that she was neglecting her safety and I wasn't going to allow her to enable our daughter to endanger herself or someone else on the road. My daughter is livid at me and so is her mum, but I feel like I did what I needed to do. Am I the asshole?
Yes. From a spoilt child's point of view, absolutely you're an asshole. Are you in the right for doing it? No, because I feel like two parents have the right, should have the right to make a decision about their child. Even though I don't necessarily agree with the mother's point of view, I don't think just because you don't agree with your co-parent's point of view, I don't think it gives you the right to then go over their head and just revoke a license.
On the other side of that, just because she doesn't agree with his point of view doesn't mean that she gets to let the kid drive when he says that she shouldn't. I don't know where a compromise is with that. I don't think he's the asshole.
You don't?
No, I think what he did was justified.
I think you've got to remember she's a 16-year-old girl living her best 16-year-old life. And I still think there's a lot of teaching in this. But, and obviously when she got caught, she wasn't necessarily, you know.
I think with mum's attitude towards her, I think we know where she learnt to text and drive. And texting and driving is incredibly dangerous.
I think I would have done this 20 days suspension and seen what her point of view is after having 20 days of not being able to drive. Because I feel like as a 16-year-old, having that taken away for 20 days, 20 days when you're 16 is a bloody long time. And I wonder if then her point of view might have changed.
But it seems like if most of her 20-day suspension was while she's at her mum's and her mum's like, eh, it's no big deal, is she going to learn any lesson if her mum's just going to drive her everywhere that she needs to go anyway? Because her mum's like, meh, yeah. It's not that bad. Everyone does it.
That's a really hard one. I just think from a 16, because she's now going to wait another 2 years.
I know, that's so long. I feel like he potentially went too far.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything else that he could have done. And from the perspective of not only her safety, but everyone else on the road. Look, I mean, I can't even text and drive well now. I never do it because I can't do it. And I've been driving for over 10 years. She's just started driving. You're not a good driver at all when you first start driving.
No, I
let alone when you add in texting and driving. And yeah. Then, you know, he's going, well, she's going to keep doing this. What do you do? Do you let her be at risk and put all the other people at risk? Or do you do the only thing that you can do and hope that she learns her lesson?
I just think it went too far. As a texter and driver myself.
Abby!
I was like,
no!
I
hope that someone who can revoke her license is listening, and I don't think that would be going too far. 2 years is not long enough.
I just, I think he went too far, in all honesty, for a parent to revoke it for 2 years. He's now endangered his relationship with his daughter ever listening to anything he's ever said.
See, I think he probably saved his daughter's life.
Potentially, and other drivers on the road, absolutely.
And saved her from having to live with potentially killing someone else.
Absolutely. But on the other hand, she's also now a 16-year-old that has daddy issues, who's going to be angry at daddy for quite a while and is not going to listen to anything he says. So I feel like he's just put any other teaching that he needs to do in the next 2 years completely on the back burner because she's not going to listen to anything he says. And by the sounds of it, he seems to be more level-headed than her mum. So now she's going to be listening to everything her mum says over him on any point of view. Because as a 16-year-old, she's going to be holding this down to him for quite a while.
I feel like they were going to get there in that relationship anyway. If it wasn't with this, it would be with the next thing. Mum doesn't sound like she's walking the right line of discipline, in my personal opinion.
See, growing up, I had a very similar relationship to this. My dad was the hard line and my mum was the, okay, just when your dad leaves, it's all right. We'll, you know, it's fine as long as he's not around. Like, don't do it while he's here if it was something that he didn't like. But, you know, as soon as he's gone, it's fine. And as a child, that is actually, we're punishing the child when really it's the mum that should be punished.
It is. But I also don't see what else he could have done, I think, is where I land on. Probably not the arsehole. Because what do you do?
I would have seen out the 20-day suspension and then seen where she's at.
But she was going to keep letting her drive until the suspension kicks in, which means that, you know, it can take a month or so, which means that that kid's going to keep doing the exact same thing for the next month.
But he's taken away her car, so she can only do it when she's at mum's and when mum's not driving her car. Like, this is limited time that she's able to drive during that month because she now doesn't have a car that's hers that's always going to be available to drive.
I think that any time spent texting and driving is too dangerous. And I have to say, I think the police force and government agrees with me on this one.
Look, if the Kardashians can do it, I can do it. That's my rule.
That is not a good rule. If the Kardashians can do it, I can do it. I'm having that made up and put on a t-shirt for you. That is a terrible rule. That is not how you should live your life.
It's got me to 31.
When they lose their license, they have drivers and they can afford the fines. You can't.
That's what parents are for, remember?
Oh my goodness. Yes. This is why we have such different perspectives. Even if my parents found out that that's what I was, like, even if they were willing to lend me the money for fines, if they found out that I'd be texting and driving, they'd be like, yeah, no, this is, you will learn your lesson yourself.
Well, I got caught last year. So it's an 8 demerit points and it's a $600 fine. My parents pay for my fine.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so full disclosure, about 8 years ago now, I got done. I wasn't texting and driving, but I got done with, you know, how the cop on the motorbikes weave through the traffic. I was sitting at a set of traffic lights and had picked up my phone to look at something and then put it back down. I wasn't like texting and driving, but I was sitting at a traffic light. I was in control of the car and technically shouldn't have been touching my phone at all. And I think back then it was a $400 fine and 4 demerit points. And I did feel a little bit like, come on, what I did wasn't that bad, but I learned my lesson. I don't touch my phone while I drive at all anymore. Because I had to pay that fine. Have you learned your lesson?
No, I was Snapchatting when I got caught. So I wasn't even texting. I was just phone recording.
Yeah, that's not better.
I mean, I drive such long ways. Do you know how annoying it would be for not being able to do anything on your phone for 2 hours?
That's because you choose to live an hour away from where everything happens.
Yeah, but like, I just can't be disconnected for that long, like, of a time.
So listen to a podcast or a book or you have Apple CarPlay. I know you do, which means that you just can't be bothered with the way it interrupts your book as you're driving. I'm right, aren't I?
Yes, you are right. My audiobooks are sacred. I cannot get anything else in between them.
See, if I don't want a text message to interrupt my podcast, because I'm a big murder podcast while I'm driving person, I just don't check the text. There's nothing that's that important.
And I've tried not to, and I forget half the time that I'm doing it until it's done.
Well, I think that your parents should have made you learn your lesson because you're 32 years old.
Excuse me, 31. Don't age me a year.
Are you only 31 this year? Well,
you came my 30th last year, babe.
That seems like so much longer than a year ago. Ouch. It's been a big year, okay? I forget that I'm 30. I keep telling people that I'm 29 and then I'm like, wait, no, that's not true anymore. To be fair, I've only had 2 months to get used to it, so. All right, I think we have time for one last one. Am I the asshole for refusing to cancel a trip with a friend over my girlfriend's insecurities? I, 26 female, and friend, 27 female, have been friends since middle school. We went to the same high school and the same university. We had always been close friends. 5 years ago, I had developed feelings for her and was promptly rejected. We were/are incompatible and she didn't return any of my feelings. We drifted apart for 2 years. I lived out of town for 3, but my main little group of friends included my friend and she is still one of my closest friends. We have mended the relationship in recent year. For the longest time, we had always talked about taking a skating trip to another city close by. We had done it in our first year of university and had a great great time. We wanted to go skating again. This year, I'm finally back in town. We promptly planned it, invited other people, but they were all busy and one flaked out. We also invited my girlfriend, but she did not want to go. Then we planned the trip for a later weekend in February, but my girlfriend wanted to spend that weekend with me instead, even though we lived together, and insisted on again changing the date of the trip. So it was changed to this weekend, when my girlfriend isn't in town. My girlfriend then asked us to change it, and my friend had to rearrange other plans in her life, as had I, to make it work. Then the third friend flaked. I didn't tell my girlfriend, it just didn't occur to me that she'd have a problem with this. I want to go on the trip, so what if it's a two-person trip instead? But I didn't neglect to tell her intentionally, I just didn't think it would be an issue. Girlfriend has never had insecurities about this friend before. Last night, she asked me again about the details of the upcoming weekend. Fair enough, I was honest, and clarified that it was just going to be two people. Instantly, my girlfriend freaked out. Actually, she went berserk, saying that this is actually a date. A two-night, three-day date. That how could I do this to her? How could I betray her trust like that? That this trip I'm taking is akin to cheating. She instantly started to set rules and boundaries for my friend and I. Apparently, I can no longer take the initiative to talk to her. I cannot hang out with her privately. I am to intentionally drift apart from my friend. I'm flabbergasted. If I'm going to cheat or had the intention to, it would be so easy to cover up. Girlfriend isn't in town. I don't post on social media. She was even invited to the trip, and we changed the date because she wanted more time with me. And why would I cheat? If my heart and mind just isn't set on my girlfriend, I would just have separated from her. Just because I liked my friend for 3 months, 5 years ago, I now have to throw away the friendship and the trip? I can say without any question that it's just pure friendship now, and I do not foresee anything festering. My friend is a friend. I then refused to cancel the trip and told my girlfriend that we should reconsider our relationship. She instantly felt personally attacked and is blighted by, "You are considering breaking up with me because of her." No, I am considering breaking up with you because of your unreasonable controllingness, your lack of trust in me, and my sadness that you are forcing me to cut off a good friend. She didn't understand, and she couldn't stand talking to me anymore. She deleted me via the chatting apps that we use and then told me she will not reconsider breaking up with me. I can consider alone and tell her the results via email. So here I am. Am I the arsehole?
No, you're not an arsehole. If there's no trust in your relationship, there's no point in the relationship, period.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I'm just a big person in blind trust, and if something goes wrong, then it's on that person and not on you.
I don't think it's even blind trust that's the problem here. I think the girlfriend clearly had a problem with this the entire way through and has chosen to make up excuses to try and get her not to go along the way, which is very manipulative.
Very.
I'm more worried about the manipulation. She could have just said, "I'm really not comfortable with this." And it probably would have been a very different conversation than after they'd rescheduled it multiple times and been waiting for ages and were really looking forward to it. If she'd said something at the beginning, instead she tried to be like, "No, it's fine," and manipulate her out of it.
I do think, though, this words that this person's using to explain their current predicament says a lot about her feelings towards her girlfriend in any case, and I wouldn't say the feelings there are that strong. Even when she says, "Apparently I can no longer take the initiative to talk to her," I feel like her decision was already made up, that the friend is more important than the relationship in that sense, that she's just not going to let someone tell her what she can and can't do. And let's be honest, if you're in a relationship where that person is your person and you feel like it's the relationship of your lifetime, blah, 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 you are going to take into consideration the feelings about this a lot more strongly than you are, than yeah. This person is. So I feel like, no, you're definitely not an asshole. Yes, your girlfriend is being controlling and also very untrusting and really just not giving your relationship the respect that it deserves.
Also, though, doesn't the girlfriend get to feel a little bit uncomfortable with their partner going to stay overnight with someone that they did have feelings for?
Uncomfortable, yes, but then talk it through and say, "Oh, I didn't realize it was gonna be a two-person trip, babe. Like, okay, look, it makes me feel this way. I trust you. I just need you to know this is how I'm feeling about it. Please just take this in consideration with when you're booking rooms, when you're posting photos, that sort of thing, that it is going to make me feel a certain way.
But he didn't tell her until the night before that it was a two-person trip all of a sudden. He never told her that the other person flaked out.
I mean, but that's kind of... that's happened to me before, and it's just an oversight. You're just too busy trying to plan a trip that's been cancelled so many times that you get to the point where another person pulls out and you go, oh, well, like, I just need to go through with it now. It just needs to happen. I don't think they're necessarily keeping it from their girlfriend, and they've had the conversation before the trip's happened. It's not like they're on the trip and they're like, yeah, FaceTime, like, look at us in the same bed.
Yeah, so I think you can lie by omission.
I don't agree with that at all.
I think you can. I think purposely not telling people something is as bad as lying.
But she said in here that she didn't not purposely tell her girlfriend.
I don't believe her. With the way she's talking about everything else and she went berserk and this and that, she knew that it was going to make her uncomfortable and just didn't want to tell her. And then when she was outright asked, suddenly she realized that, well, I can't lie and now I have to tell her. And she got the result she knew she was going
to
get.
I think I would be saying to my girlfriend, if this is how you feel, then you should be coming on the trip. And I've given you ample opportunity to come on the trip. So is there any way that we can get you there?
That's very true. That said, I wouldn't want to go on a trip with my partner and the person that I'm worried they have feelings for. I'd be like, no, I'm avoiding that trip entirely. But I would also never get myself into that situation.
Yeah, like if you feel like your partner has feelings for someone else, what the hell are you doing, girl?
I think that this is an everyone sucks in this situation. They both really behaved badly, and just a few easy communications would have solved a lot of trouble.
It's definitely a communication breakdown for sure.
And I think on both sides, and they both seem to not trust each other enough to just have the conversation. By not trusting each other to have the conversation, they're ending up in bigger arguments they're already assuming how the other one's going to react.
If I can say anything, I would basically say, if you guys are at the point where one argument ends in you deleting all your communication to apps and then you're saying email me, the relationship needs to be terminated in any case, girl. So let it go have fun with your friend, and if the friend's now returning your feelings, go for it, have fun.
So what's interesting about this post is this is actually a very old one. So the judgment has come down from the powers that be on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And she was actually branded the arsehole.
What?
Overwhelmingly branded the arsehole. And people that didn't say you're the arsehole said everyone sucks here.
Right.
Which is quite surprising. So there is an update that says, update, the trip is cancelled. I gloomed over, and rather than just wallow in sadness over the weekend, I cancelled because, one, with my girlfriend's outburst, I'm not going to enjoy the trip. I no longer have her blessing. Two, I need to work on my relationship with her, and if I go on this trip, there is no working on it left. I do not believe she'll see past her insecurities, and it is just a skating trip. So that's that.
I bet you if you emailed her now, they're no longer together because they had trust issues that came up with absolutely everything and not just this trip. Because if you have trust issues on this level, you have trust issues in the relationship.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But maybe by not going on this trip, it gave them enough opportunity to actually talk it through. Who knows?
Girl.
I don't think so. But a lot of people stay in relationships that I'm just like, why? This is such hard work. If it's this hard, stop.
This is why I'm single, because I'm like, you're taking up too much of my energy, and I'm like, only positive energy only, say goodbye. unless you're doing three things for me, feeding me, making me or buying me things, I don't want to be around you.
See, even if you're buying me things, if you're no longer making me happy, bye. It's not worth it.
Not a Gucci bag can really get me quite happy. So I'm all good there.
Nah, if you're treating me like crap, I'll buy myself the Gucci bag. Thank you.
Damn, girl.
Okay, and with that, we are going to finish on a interesting little thing that I came across. What is the worst thing that has been said to you during sex? Now, I'm going to start this off with my favorite one. It was a really quiet and soft-spoken, polite guy, a total gentleman, and a graduate student in the liberal arts. Also, pretty inexperienced, tentative, and vanilla sexually. He's dating this really cool girl for maybe 2 months. She is much kinkier in bed. She floats the idea of dirty talk and apparently likes to be objectified from time to time. He's hesitant, but wants to please her and doesn't dismiss the idea outright. They change the subject and figure that they'll revisit the idea another time. So they have sex a few days later for the first time since the conversation, really going at it doggy style, and she tells him to talk dirty to her. He says that he just can't think of anything to say, so he says nothing. Then she repeats the request. But the second time, she is not fucking requesting, but demanding it. He comes up with, yeah, you like that, you fucking retard? He's never struck me as one for embellishment, so I tend to believe him. He said that was it for sex that night, although they're still together 2 years on. Oh yeah, dirty talk isn't always something that you should ad-lib.
I feel like everyone's dirty talk is so different. After going through my Tinder phase now, everyone has very different rants, moans, conversations, like things that they like to do, positions they like to put you in. Like, I feel like
everyone's got their own taste.
Yeah. But I feel like dirty talk is just one of those ones that you're like walking a line and it is a very thin tightrope that could go, you could go over the edge very fast.
See, I think there's a very obvious middle ground of dirty talk, but you definitely have people that are way over to the left and way over to the right. So if you're like traveling down the middle ground, but they're looking for something that's way over here, you're just going to seem like a bit of an idiot to them. Especially because sex is one of those things you don't know if what you're doing is what everyone else is doing. You're hoping like hell it's what everyone else is doing, but you're like, what if I'm the weird one here? Yeah, and everyone that I've had sex with has just been quite polite. Or they're the other weirdo. I found the one other weirdo that likes it the way I do it. And everyone else has been like, what are you doing?
Marry that weirdo. I feel like, though, like, as a guy, he probably should have watched some porn at some point and has seen someone dirty talk, and fucking retard was probably never mentioned in dirty talk.
I think when you're going at it halfway through, though, isn't the time to try and come up with something. If you're that uncomfortable, prep a few lines.
Yeah, like, it's not like they hadn't brought it up before. Like, I feel like if my partner had said to me, like, that they liked dirty talk, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've never done that, I don't know what to do. I feel like, you know, if they didn't expect it that night, I would have gone away and been like, Google, what is dirty talk? Like,
yeah, and that is something that definitely I would have done as well, but I think that's a very female thing. Yes. Men are like, yep, okay, and then they put it in a box and they don't think about it again until that box is open, and by then it was apparently way too late.
Like, way too late.
We'll go away and be like, okay, research. Like, let's think this through. Whereas if it makes men uncomfortable, they're like, I'm just going to put that in a box. I don't want to think about that. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I'm just not going to think about it again until I absolutely have to.
See, it's like the dirty talk thing for me always gets me. Because a lot of guys these days, like you calling them daddy. I call my actual father daddy.
Yeah.
So someone's saying to me in the middle of sex, call me daddy, babe. I'm like, okay, I just dried right up. Like, no thanks. And that's just a big
thing. Yeah, I don't do the daddy thing either, just because I don't regularly call my dad daddy, but I grew up calling him daddy.
Yeah.
And if I want something, I will still call him daddy.
Yeah.
And also, I would like my children to call my husband daddy. And that's going to be weird if I've been calling him daddy all this time.
That's just one dirty talk that I just can't get on board with. But I mean, I the fucking retard, I don't even understand. Like, maybe in his brain, right, he's like having
great time. I think his brain just broke. I don't think there's anything more to that except it just came out and he immediately was just like, no, I want to put that back.
Well, I feel like he was having a good time. His brain cells have left because we all know they go south in a guy before, you know. And he's been like, oh, shut up, you retard. I'm about to have a good time. And it's just come out as part of his dirty talk. And wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
All right, I've got another response that's along the line of dirty talk. I asked for dirty talk and he too was quite inexperienced and vanilla. He came out with, you have a beautiful slut face.
Right.
Yeah, as I said, I think they just, their brain breaks. They're put on the spot and they just...
This one I can understand because I have had a couple of guys now from Tinder who like to objectify, like, slut wise.
I think that's quite a normal thing in dirty talk, but to come out with as the first thing that you ever say, I think is very jarring.
Yeah, like, a lot of guys will like
that. That's something that usually comes out a little bit further down the line when there's a lot of, like, trust and stuff like that. I don't think that that's necessarily the kind of first beginner line that anyone's expecting. Okay, we've also got, this is my last one from the list, and this is one of my favourite in a really horrible way, because I just can't believe it happened. Your ass makes my penis look small.
The guy said that? Or the guy?
Yeah, he took himself down with it.
I love this guy. Where is he?
I think he was trying to insult her by saying that she had a big ass, and just took himself down too.
But these days, saying you have a big ass isn't actually an insult. Like, girls...
I don't think generally enough. I think there's a very specific subset of girls that are going for a big ass. Most of us are like, that's... Thanks.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
But it depends, like, if he's, like, obsessed with her ass, right? Like, if he's always like, oh, babe, your ass... Like, you know, he's really in her ass. And then he says that. Then that actually is kind of, like, a compliment.
But this is what someone came up with when asked what the worst thing ever said to them was during sex. So I don't think that's...
No.
That's where this one came from.
I can't save him there. Like, why would you even do that? Like,
what's the worst thing that's ever been said to you?
To me, I've had the question, like, have you got bacon? And I was like, what the hell?
While you were... He was thinking about what they could, what after sex snack would be good.
What I was
going to
make him after we, because we're at my house as well. Yeah, that was, and then I also, my ex was my favourite actually. So, you know, very vanilla sex with my ex, very vanilla. So we're,
is this the ex that I know from long term? Okay, So we're not going to out him on here, but I want to know who we're talking about.
So we're having very vanilla sex. We're missionary, right? So, it's, you know, that romantic sort of look in your eyes thing. We're having a great, like, we're having a good time. And then he says to me, you know, you just really don't do it for me very often anymore. And I'm like thinking, your dick is hard, you're going at it. What do you mean? Like, in the middle of it.
Oh my God. And still did you not break up with him then?
I don't know, because apparently I was crazy. But yeah, like, that one stuck with me. A few times, like, I've actually, and missionary is apparently a bit of a trigger for that one, because in missionary, I can be quite subconscious.
Taken back to that moment still. I'm not surprised. That is a really horrible thing to say to someone. And, like, especially, like, at that point in time, you're literally at your most vulnerable.
Vulnerable, yeah. And, like, I was bent around, so there was roles in place. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely one of those ones that I now get very conscious of. And if I'm having sex with someone for the first time now, I very rarely do it in missionary for the first time, because it's just a trigger for me. But, like, we didn't even stop the set. I remember just, like, keeping quiet and letting him finish and then going to sleep. Like, and that's how much it hit me.
You were just
me.
That shocked just like, that you couldn't say anything.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness.
So that one got me. Yeah. And then
did you guys ever talk about it later on or just...
So, no, because I'm one of those people that really like to ignore things that I don't like and just pretend like they didn't happen. And that's just my life's sunshine and roses, but to everyone else, it's not really.
Yeah, you like to live in your own reality.
Yeah, definitely. And then my favorite one, which wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but was like a, what the fuck did you just say? He literally goes, I think I just ate my booger. What? And like, we were in doggy, so I couldn't see. Like, why would you tell me? Why wouldn't you just keep going? Like, I don't need to know. But I asked my girlfriends what the worst is that they've had, and one of them said that a guy asked her to spit in his mouth. I don't know. I feel like that is a thing, but
it's definitely a thing. I think I would probably, that would ruin it for me a little bit, especially if it was a new partner. I wasn't expecting it. I think I'd be like, oh, okay. That's not for me. And I'd get really awkward. And
my other girlfriend said this wasn't during sex, it was during oral, but they were having a great time and he was really going to town on her. And she fell off the bed and she quickly yelled out, 5 second rule. And apparently they just couldn't get back there because he was still laughing.
Yes. Look, as far as I'm concerned, a good sexual relationship is one that you can laugh through it.
Very true. Very true. Who yells out 5 second rule? I'm guessing you can guess which friend that was.
Yes, okay. I can. Yeah.
I was just like, 5 second rule? What? Like,
look, I've had a partner fall off the bed during, and to be honest, there was no regaining it anyway because I couldn't stop laughing and he didn't say a word. I just thought it was the funniest thing that had ever happened to me. The look of shock on his face. Like, a minute ago I was having so much fun and now I'm on the floor.
I'd hate to land on the floor. Can you imagine? You'd just be so embarrassed. But
very jarring.
It would bring a whole lot of pleasure to the end, wouldn't it?
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today, Abby. Today has been so much fun. I think I'm going to need to fix up my makeup. I've been crying laughing a little bit. And if you want to join into our podcast, you can send your stories or confessions through to confesstolucy@gmail.com. And you can find some more stories over at @LucyLoves_ on TikTok. And we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.